I want to get into this message. We're going to be starting a new message today, and really this is just going to be an introduction to it, just the very beginning of it. But the title of this message is When God Speaks to Us. You know, over the years, many, many times, while I'm speaking to someone, or maybe they've heard other people say it, that, you know, yeah, God spoke to me and he said this, or God, you know, God said this, God said that. And I have people ask all the time, this has been going on for years, people would ask the question, how do you know when God is speaking to you? I mean, how does he speak? And they really are genuinely wondering about that. And I've had people say, God has never spoken to me. I hear y'all talking about God speaks to you all the time. I don't know what that, I mean, what is that even like? How does God speak to you? And I had a man I was talking to, and he just went, he was almost depressed over it. And he says, man, I've asked God to speak to me over and over again. And I sit and I listen and I never hear God speaking to me. And I said, well, there's a good chance that he's speaking to you and you're just not realizing that he's speaking to you. Or maybe you're just not tuned your heart to his voice yet, because your thoughts are going on and on and on. And I said, but it's not that God's holding back from you. God wants to speak to you. He loves to converse with you. In fact, I'm convinced that most of prayer time should be listening to what he has to say instead of me blah, 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 blah all the time, right? And so when God speaks to us, what is that like? Now, it is important that we get to know the voice of God. Now, Jesus literally commanded his disciples, and of course, everything he commanded them is for us as well. But he commanded them to hear God's voice. Hear God's voice. Now, over and over again in the scripture, and Jesus said this too, to him who has ears, let him hear, right? It is vitally important for us to hear God's voice, especially in this day and age. We're going to have a keen discernment on what is God's voice and what is not. Because I want to tell you, there are a lot of voices out there that are speaking things that are not from the Spirit of God. And I'm not talking about just people in the world. I'm talking about in the church world. There's a lot of voices out there, and you got to be careful whose voice you feed on. It is a terrible mistake to listen to everything and everybody who opposes the truth of God, and you give God hardly any time. So, but this is what you need to do. Listen to the truth, and when you know the truth, you can easily identify the lie. But you got to listen to the truth, and he is the truth. It's his voice that we need to make sure we familiarize ourselves with. Hear his voice. I used to teach safety orientations for years when I worked in the plants and worked construction. I did all kinds of things, but what I was doing at the end of that, I was a safety person, and because they recognized that I could do presentations, I guess because of what I do as a pastor, they always wanted me to do the presentations and the safety orientations and things like that. Because to be honest with you, not many people want to stand in front of hundreds of people and talk. And so that was a fear that I had at one time. Thank God he helped me to get over that. But most people are scared to death to do that, didn't want to do that. And so it just kind of fell on me. And so then it got to where that was literally all I was doing. And so I was doing this orientation one time at one of the local plants, and it's about a 4-hour orientation. So I'm talking a lot, right? And a guy comes up to me after the orientation and he says, you know, this might sound crazy. He said, but do you have a radio program on a Christian radio station? I said, actually, I do. As a matter of fact, he said, I knew it. He said, I recognized the voice. He said, I was listening to you talking like, I know that voice. And then he put it together and he says, that's got to be him. Well, why am I saying that? Because he listened to my voice enough to where he could recognize my voice in a place that was in a whole different context, right? Now, so listen, this is how God wants it to be. With his voice, that no matter where we are, what situation we're in, 10,000 voices coming at us, that we can recognize his voice, right? And so today we want to learn how to recognize when God speaks, because I've had a lot of people over the years tell me God said things that No, I don't think so. I don't think that was God. I'm giving an example of the lady that said that God told her to leave her husband for another man that would make her happy because God wanted her happy. Well, how many of you would have to acknowledge, I don't think that was God, right? Raise your hand if you acknowledge you don't think that's God. Please agree with me here, please. But there's been a lot of that kind of stuff over the years. I'm going to put this out there. I don't believe that God's telling any preacher that to tell the people that if they'll all send him $48, that God's going to bless them with $4,800. Or that if God's telling me that if you'll send in $500, I'll send you this blessed, anointed wallet that'll never be empty, right? That kind of junk, I mean, that's real. I'm not exaggerating there, okay? So my point is that there's a lot of voices, some of those voices, even in the so-called church, that you better learn how to discern whether or not they're from God. So we want to learn how to recognize his voice. John chapter 10, we're going to start here. John 10, verses 2 through 5. It says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. The problem is, and I'll say this again, I just want to reiterate this. The problem is sometimes the wrong voice is not a stranger to people because they've fed on that voice. They've listened to that YouTube video over and over again. They've fed on the wrong voices. Don't spend much time in the Word of God. Don't spend much time praying and listening to God. But they fed on all kind of voices, and then they get confused. And so notice that the sheep hear his voice. Now, the way this worked is back in the day, and they may still do this in modern day. I think in New Zealand, there's a lot of sheep. In fact, in New Zealand, I understand there's probably more sheep than there are humans in that country. But places where there's a lot of sheep and flocks, one of the things that they would do is at nighttime, they would put more than one flock together in a sort of an arena, a place of protection, a fenced-in area. They would put all of the sheep from various different flocks together. And in the morning, when it was time for them to go out, that particular shepherd that had that particular sheep would go in and begin to speak, and his sheep would hear his voice, and they would follow that shepherd out to go feed in the fields and so on and so forth. And the same thing would happen with the shepherd of the other sheep. But they were all in the same pen, but they recognized the voice of their master. Why? Because they had been with him for countless hours, days on end, listening to his voice. And so when he spoke, they recognized it. And so, again, we have to be careful that we are identifying the right voice. There are a lot of thieves out there, and notice what the scripture says. It talks about, but he who enters the door is the shepherd. Just before that, he's talking about the one that tries to go over the fence, the one that tries to go around the back, tries to go some other way other than what is designated. And so Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 through 11, God's speaking, and he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Most people that you and I know, maybe even some people in this church, are completely directed by and led by their own thoughts, not the thoughts of God. Because the thoughts of God seem foreign. The thoughts of God sometimes don't make sense. The thoughts of God sometimes go against what seems natural to me. The thoughts of God. But he says, look, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, that means I need to learn how to discern between my thoughts and his thoughts. And then he says, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. But then he tells us, here's a good clue, a good reason why we should want his thoughts. Because his are higher than ours. He has a better view. He knows more, right? And his thoughts are obviously better than ours. So not all thoughts are God's thoughts. And I've had a lot of people over the years tell me things that I believe the Lord wants me to do this, and I believe the, and one of the questions I'll ask, because this is one of the signifiers of when God's speaking, is peace. And I'll say, do you have peace about that? And I've had people say, oh yeah, I have peace about it. I want to go buy this $80,000 pickup truck, or I want to go buy this new Harley Davidson motorcycle, or whatever it is, or I want to go buy this brand new boat, and or whatever. And do you believe it's the will of the Lord? Well, I have peace about it. So no, what you got peace about is you can't wait to get in that sucker and drive. That's what you, it's not that you have actually even sought the Lord. You feel good about, I mean, you can already smell the new leather. I mean, you already can hear that rumble of that engine or whatever. So we can deceive ourselves is what I'm saying. And so that nothing wrong with if God wants a person to have those kind of things. It's not that those things are wrong. I'm just saying that we can talk ourselves into anything and convince ourselves that it's God, right? And that's why we need to know His voice. So there's been many a times when, whether it was for a purchase of something or whatever, that I thought this is what I wanted and the Lord would intervene. And one of the ways that He would intervene is, I mean, I just would know, like I just would know. This is not right. No, this is not the one. This is not right. And so, again, it can be our own thoughts from our own fleshly desires. So, you know, sometimes, by the way, we also like to talk to ourselves. I think that there's some people talking to themselves thinking they're talking to God. Now, y'all think I'm kidding. Think about it. Okay. I mean, you're saying God told you this. God obviously didn't tell you that. That was you that told you that. Right? The lady that said God told her to leave her husband, that wasn't God. That was you that told yourself to leave your husband. Right? Some people just like to talk to themselves. And I did have one guy say, I do talk to myself pretty often because I like intelligent conversation. Huh? But we can easily confuse our own desires with God's will. Or it can also come from Satan. It can be a thought inspired by Satan. And we certainly better know when it is and when it's not. So the Bible says that there are false prophets. The spirit of Antichrist can also plant thoughts into our minds, according to the scripture. So this may not seem to be a big issue if you're just trying to decide on something simple, like maybe where to go to a restaurant to go eat or something. But at the same time, it could be. Nothing wrong with asking the Lord for His guidance on this. You know, usually the factors are, well, I want to go there because it's affordable, or I want to go there because the food's really good. But how often do we ask the Lord, is there some place you want me to go because you got a mission for me? I do believe that there are times when the Lord will put you at a restaurant, at a table next to somebody that you had no idea God had a mission for you there. And yet that person needed to meet you. They could have been contemplating suicide or something like that. Who knows? So we need to be led by the Lord. Years ago, the Lord was working on me about trying to follow His voice and hear His voice and follow His direction. And I started doing this, driving home from work and just kind of asking Him, is there a certain way you want me to go? And there were times when I heard Him tell me, you know, and again, we'll talk more about this, but in my spirit, that to go a specific direction. And then when I'd go that direction, sure enough, there would be somebody in that direction that I was supposed to meet. And that happened more than once. And so how do I know when it's really God? It may not be a big issue that much with certain things like that, but there are other major things that you certainly want to make sure you hear from God. Things on like who you're going to marry. I mean, things on like, you know, how many of you know getting married is not just a good idea? It better be a God idea, right? You better know, okay? So, I mean, half of all Americans are divorced. You know why? They didn't ask God about it. In fact, they had no idea what love was when they got married. They had some chemical reactions, right? So it's very important that we learn to hear from God. Let me share an illustration with you. I've shared over the years a few times because I think it illustrates what we're talking about pretty well. There was a young man that applied for a job as a Morse code operator. How many of you know what Morse code is? Raise your hand if you know what Morse code is. Okay. So most everybody knows what Morse code is. I wasn't sure if the younger people would know what that is, but he was answering an ad in the newspaper. Of course, this was years ago. And he went to the address where this job was listed. And when he arrived, he went into this large, noisy office, and you could hear sound of a telegraph clacking away, you know, ding, 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 doing all that stuff. You could hear that going on. And a sign on the receptionist counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and then wait until they were summoned to enter into the interview room. And the young man completed his form. He sat down with seven other applicants that had been there before him. Some had been there for quite a while. But after a few minutes, he stood up and he walked into the office. And he went into the interview room. And they all looked at each other and they thought, what is this guy doing? And so naturally, all of those applicants were just, you know, curious. And then they began to kind of talk about how, boy, he's about to get run out of there. Nobody invited him in, so on and so forth. And so after a few minutes, the young man comes out of the room, out of that office, escorted by the interviewer who announced to the other applicants, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has been filled by this young man. And all those other applicants begin to complain. They spoke up. They said, hey, wait a minute. I don't understand. We were here way earlier than him. And we never even got a chance to be interviewed, yet he got here way after us, and he gets the job. That's not fair. And the employer responded, well, all the time that you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been clicking out the message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it. This young man did, so the job is his. And I think that it's very important because understand, just like that Morse code, people are not able to hear from God unless they have relationship with God. And God wants you to have such a relationship. He wants you to know His voice to such an extent that in a noisy room full of people, even full of Christian people, full of church people, you can discern His voice, whether anybody else in the room does. And so we need to recognize when God speaks. God wants to talk to us. So how do I know when God speaks to us? Let me just take a few minutes to get this started. So testing what you hear, the number one main point, testing what you hear. Let me give you a scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 through 22. Do not despise prophecies. Now what is a prophecy? That's when God is speaking through someone. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Just because a person claims to be speaking from God, you still have a responsibility to test it, okay? And I want to tell you, I want this to be a safe place, all right? There is a chance that possibly you may feel God's giving you a word of knowledge or something. And I want you to allow the Lord to operate through you. But we want to do it in order. And when it comes to prophetic words, where people are speaking prophetic words over people, especially when it comes to dealing with their future and so on and so forth, or given some kind of direction, you know, I feel the Lord's called you to be a train engineer, or I feel like the Lord's called you to do this or do. Man, whatever you do, you take that. And first of all, the Bible says that prophetic words should be judged by prophet. So just because a person says, I have a word from God for you, you better weigh that out before the Lord and get confirmation on that. In fact, I always encourage people, if you're going to give a prophetic word here to somebody, encourage them to come and bring that word to me or to Pastor Cindy, or have someone else that operates in that gifting to listen to that word, right? But ultimately, in a church this size, those things can get back to us. Because we want people to be used in their gifting, but we know that sometimes when we step out of, you know, maybe out of what the thoughts of the Holy Spirit are and our own thoughts, sometimes we don't know the difference. I've seen people start a prophetic word completely led by the Spirit and then get off into their own thinking. And when they should have shut up, they didn't. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. So, but we don't want to discourage or despise prophetic words, but we do want to test everything. And sometimes, listen, don't be upset. Don't be angry with people. If they miss it, they miss it. And don't be afraid to let them know. Listen, I know you're trying to hear from the Lord, and I appreciate that. But I just have to tell you, this does not agree with my spirit. And there's nothing wrong with letting people know that. Now, you're not going to beat them over the head with a, you know, big family Bible or anything for doing it, but y'all hear me? Because we want people. There's got to be a safe place where people can practice, in a sense, stepping out And so we don't want to discourage that. But we want to make sure that if somebody's saying it's from the Lord, it better be from the Lord. All right. So we're going to get into this first point. This is as far as we're going to get today, is this first point. When God speaks to us, it will always honor Christ. Everybody say always. Always it will honor Christ. John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, that's the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. So this is Jesus talking, and he says, the Holy Spirit, anytime the Holy Spirit's speaking through somebody, he's going to always bear witness of me, right? Jesus. John 16:14. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And then 1 John 4:1-3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. So he's telling us right there, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, I preached a whole series, whole bunch of messages on this, on beware of false prophets. But verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is, was coming and now is in the world already. So you got to know that there are Antichrist spirits already out there that are saying all kinds of things that are not biblical. And I want to tell you, many of them are behind pulpits today in America. That's just the truth. I'm not saying that to be critical, to be ugly. I'm saying that we better know the voice of God. And just because it's coming from a pulpit out of a church somewhere does not mean it's the voice of God. Because many pastors have learned how to lean to their own understanding and their own abilities and their own, you know, worldly ways, you know, find out what does the world like and let's give this to the world so we can fill the building up and so on and so forth. And the Spirit of God is nowhere around it. And they're teaching things that the Bible is not the inerrant word of God, that hell is not real, that many of the miracles that the Bible teaches were really nothing more than stories. They were just to teach a lesson, but it didn't really historically happen. And so this is what he's talking about, or what John is talking about here, when he's talking about having a true understanding of Jesus and who Jesus is. I believe that really encompasses everything that is truth in the Bible. That if people stray from that, then it's an Antichrist spirit. The implication here is in regards to prophetic counsel more than practical. So when somebody is trying to, you know, they're speaking a prophetic word. I had a guy at one time who was here, he had a very strong prophetic gift, but he was trying to use that prophetic gift to direct the church in the way he thought it should go. And I had to back him off. And I had to tell him, so you're operating, you have a great gift, but you're operating right now out of the wrong spirit. It's manipulation and it's witchcraft. And it needs to stop. And of course, he didn't like that a whole lot. But I said, you know, God has ordained the authority in this church. And listen, I'm the last one I ever thought that I would be in that place. Didn't want that place. But I'm telling you that I see what's going on. And I'm telling you that you need to repent of that. He never did. And by the way, the man died very young in life after a lot of tragedy happened. Because he would not come to repentance. So, again, I didn't curse him. I didn't do any of that. I just said, you need to come to repentance. You're using your gift for the wrong reasons. Amen. There are false prophets out there. So parents, authors, people like that can give us natural wisdom. Man, if I want to know how to do some plumbing, I'm going to go to a plumber that knows how to do it. If I need to do some mechanic work, I want to go to a mechanic that knows something about mechanic work. So on a natural level, they don't have to be a spirit-filled believer to know how to do something on a natural level. And I can learn from people on a natural level. But when it comes to anything spiritual whatsoever, I'm not going to somebody that does not, first of all, know more than me about it. And I'm not going to go to somebody who has no clue for sure. I'm never going to go to Facebook for my spiritual counsel. The ridiculous stuff on there, I'm astounded by it sometimes. I saw a pastor the other day, his wife was sick and wanted prayers, and gets on there and says, you know, my wife is sick. We would welcome any prayers, positive thoughts, good vibes, or good juju. I said, dude, are you out of your mind? Look, y'all even summon the demons, you know, whatever it takes. How ignorant. But it's the world we're living in. So, by the way, I want to tell you, good vibes and the positive thoughts and the juju, they ain't going to do you no good. And the prayers aren't even going to do you any good unless they're prayed in faith. So I don't do that. I don't get on Facebook and ask everybody to pray for me. What I will do is get some people that I know, they know the word and they know what the word says, and we'll get agreement from there. But it's ridiculous, some of the stuff that people say. So I believe God's natural wisdom that can be spoken to people that don't know him. But man, I tell you what, I want only supernatural wisdom. Something that comes from God, comes from his word, or something that comes from, I know somebody that's speaking truth. And so spiritual insight, which claims a spiritual source, must be spiritually tested. If it's from the Holy Spirit, Christ be acknowledged as Lord. If not, it didn't come from heaven and you don't want it. So someone may even claim to be a Christian, but if they're not portraying Christ in both their words and their actions, you don't want it. Listen, I'm not talking about just if they don't smoke, cuss, chew, drink, run with girls that do. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, does the love and the light of Christ shine brightly from their lives to others? I'm not saying that they have to be walking in absolute perfection in every way, because we're all still trying to attain that. But I'm talking about, do you see the love and the light of Christ shine brightly in their lives and from their lives? So needless to say, there are a lot of people offering spiritual guidance. And even though many may simply be charlatans, I don't doubt that there are spiritual powers at work. Even through the charlatans, I believe they've opened themselves up to demonic realms. And so I close my ears to that. I'm not going to go seeking spiritual counsel from a person who is not a word person. So God's voice will always, always honor Christ. I've known people over the years that were Muslim and in the eyes of the world would say, man, that is a really good dude right there. That's a good dude. They love people. I know people who are part of other cults who just seem to love people, seem to, you know, they just reach out, they give, they do these things. But I am not going to go to them for spiritual counsel, because they deny Jesus. All right. Do their words line up? And do they honor Christ and the character of Christ? So I'm gonna pray this. Being we're just getting this started, I want to just pray over you specifically about the Lord helping us to truly be able to hear his voice, to recognize his voice. And we're going to go over several practical things over the next 2 or 3 weeks about this. But why don't we just open our hearts to the Lord? Father, right now, Lord, we want to hear from you. We need to know. We need to be able to discern. And we know that there is a gift, Father, called discerning of spirits. I pray that you would cause that gift to begin to operate at a greater level in your people, Father, especially in this day and age, Father. Lord, I pray for the ability to hear within our hearts, within our spirits, what you're saying, Father. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, I know there are times where literally our life may depend on it. It may be a split second thing, Lord, as you're speaking to us. Lord, we want to hear you clearly and we want to obey you unconsciously, Father. Father, we want to follow your leading, the leading of the Holy Spirit at all times in our life, Father, whether it be for the really big issues or whether it be for just the seemingly small issues, Father. Help us to be in tune with what you're saying. Lord, I pray, give a greater clarity than ever before to your people here. Those that seek it, those that want it. Father, we know that there are those who couldn't care less what you have to say, and their ears will remain dull to you. But Father, there are those in here hungry for you. There are those who want to know what you're saying. They want to follow you. They want to know your direction for their life. They want to know your will. I pray, open up their spiritual ears to hear from you, Lord, everything that you're trying to say. Help us to tap into that glory, Lord, that is available to us everywhere we go. And Lord, I thank you for that. I pray, fill your people once again with your Holy Spirit. I thank you for anointing them. I thank you for appointing them. I thank you, Father, for empowering them. I thank you, Father, for growing them and giving them a strong, solid foundation, God, in your word, Father. Lord, I thank you that they'll walk in healing. They'll walk in holiness, Father. They'll walk in authority that comes from your kingdom as they hear your voice. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. If you're in agreement, won't you shout amen?